Good Friday morning to you. This is Trending, and I'm your host, Ben Rogers. Cannon County is a beautiful rural county situated in Middle Tennessee. It's bordered by Rutherford, Wilson, DeKalb, Warren, and Coffee counties. Its location has resulted in the county seeing some growth, but with growth, that also means more services are expected. Like a lot of rural counties in Tennessee that are seeing growth, Cannon County has had some financial struggles. Here with me today as my guest on Trending is first-time county executive Brent Bush.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate you having me on.
Thank you for taking the time to be here. One of the reasons I wanted you on as my guest today is I want our listeners to learn more about Cannon County. It's a really beautiful county. If you haven't been there, I enjoy the drive. I enjoy being there. It's a county that has a lot to offer to its citizens and people visiting. Yet, for years, there have been some financial struggles there. And I'm also, by having you on and talking about Cannon County, I'm also continuing my journey across Upper Cumberland, having leaders from cities and counties on as guests. And I think it's important the people of the Upper Cumberland know who their leaders are. You're a leader in Cannon County, and therefore you're a leader of the Upper Cumberland. And I want them to know all the great things going on, not only in this area but the state, and what are some of the struggles local governments face when providing services for the constituents, because that's what it's all about, is you're providing services as a county to constituents and citizens. I want our audience to get to know you as well. I want them to learn about Cannon County, but I want them to know who you are. With that comes my questions, and I'm not going to stump you or anything. I want to get into your background as well, but I do want to start with the county. And you've been county executive now for 15 months.
Yeah, it's been a learning curve. I come out of I was born in Cannon County. I left in the early 80s after high school and went off to college and then came back, served in the military. And I got involved, retired from the Army, and we moved back. And I got involved in county government in 14 as a commissioner, served one term, and then this was my first term as a county executive.
So what, in 15 months, of course, we talk quite often, and I'm thankful for that. We've developed, a good friendship and a working relationship. I think sometimes you worry about bothering me too much, and that's never been an issue. Because I love Cannon County, and I love the people there. But I want to talk about some situations you've encountered as county executive in your first 15 months. We'll get to the Financial Management Committee later. We're probably going to spend almost a whole segment on that because there's so much involved with that, and that's something new that's happened there. But what are some of the issues that you've had on your plate that's been difficult for you in the county to get through? And the solid waste issue. You come in September 1 of 2018, and one of the first things you do is address the solid waste issue.
Yeah, the previous contractor had felt like that they didn't want to continue to do business with the county. They had a long-term relationship. We just was kind of at what I call it a point where we just couldn't kind of move forward. A lot of politics was in play over that. And so the solid waste facility, again, I guess as the director of it, is another one of my roles. Moved in a new direction. We currently have a program that's working at with inmate labor, with less, you'd say, hired help, just for the fact is that the money wasn't there. And we're in the process. We've worked hard with Lisa Luck and you guys at CTAS to make sure we're following all the state policies and guidelines. And I feel comfortable that we'll have a new facility built maybe over the next year. St. John's Engineering has been awarded the architectural and engineering, and they will bid out the new facility. So the old facility is in place. It's working as well as it can in the current setup. But over the next, hopefully, especially starting when the weather breaks this summer, we'll move toward a better, more convenient center.
And you actually have worked with one of my counterparts, and that's something that maybe people don't understand about County Technical Assistance Service at CTAS. We actually have a solid waste consultant. We have two. And Kim Rea, you've talked with her. She's wonderful. And you've probably talked to her more than you have have to me about the situation. I know one of the things that happened, if I remember correctly, if this is wrong, let me know, Brent. You actually had to limit the amount of trash being brought there when you first came in because there was no way to function. The contract was gone. You had no way to haul it, and so that was tough.
Well, as a member of the legislative body working through the solid waste issues, we would talk tonnage and population, and again, talking to CTAS folks, which are just a great asset to county government, and they can run you numbers on how much tons should be, or at least within, you know, normal ranges. And we were just far exceeding those ranges when it comes to tonnage. And now, again, growth in Middle Tennessee, it just kind of makes common sense. You've got a huge growth problem going on, say problem, a good problem going on in Rutherford County. But anyway, I think that we had a process of where we were using Cannon County as a place to bring trash from outside, and then we kind of went to the legislative body, and we kind of wanted to rope that down to county citizens. And it brought some angst between the different organizations within the county itself, with the schools and, you know, the local community and the city of Woodbury and things of that nature, just trying to follow guidelines that Kim Raya and Lisa Luck and those folks kind of laid out. So, and I'm, of course, being military, I'm all about following processes and policies and procedures and, you know, working what makes sense. But also, you know, that incurs, if you don't do it that way, that's a very costly operation.
Sure.
And currently, again, like I say, with inmate labor, it helps us on some of the expenses, but also just from the amount of tonnage, you know, essentially leaving Cannon County is within normal ranges.
And that excess tonnage you were talking about basically was coming from citizens outside of Cannon County, taking advantage of the services the county was providing and wasn't paying for them.
Had to be. I mean, it had to come from somewhere. I mean,
right.
it was double the amount, and that's even – I mean, there's no way even the city of Woodbury could bring that much trash. And again – I want to work with all the different agencies, but I also have got to realize that, you know, solid waste is one of those things that is a costly part of our county government, and we want to fully provide the services that we can provide. There is some things that we need to do better, and hopefully with a new facility, that's where we're heading. We're heading in a process of having a new facility that's a lot more efficient, that can, you know, that can actually compact trash, that where you have tonnage, and again, Republic and Rutherford County, they got their own struggles with their problems with solid waste, and it just kind of took some years to kind of really hit Cannon County, and that's where the change has been occurring, and hopefully, like I said, sometime over the course of this year, we'll start with a lot better facility.
This has been Rogers. You're listening to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. I'm joined today by Cannon County Executive Brent Bush. Brent, and we'll move on from the solid waste in just a minute, but some of the things counties do to regulate the outside trash from other counties into your county is they'll ask the citizens to go buy a sticker, and that shows proof of residence, and they'll put it on their car. And so when they come to the convenience center to take off their trash, the employees can see a sticker and say, okay, they're Cannon County residents. Is that something y'all are doing?
Well, that's just a part of it. We're flexible enough to, you know, if you got electric bills and you've got residents and we know who you are. We do have some snowbirds, and we do have some people that live out of state that move in and live there temporarily. That was a big problem early on. What we're trying to limit is using the Cannon County Convenience Center, which is designed to be a place for people that don't have trash pickup, really. I mean, that's essentially what it's for. Are you, if you do have trash pickup, if you're a county resident, you can bring your trash up there. But it's for household trash. It's not for commercial trash. It's not for business trash, really. That's not what it's designed. We're not taxed to do that. We're not set up to do that. But we allow people if they have residency, identification, and then they communicate with us, and we try to allow them to use the facility as best we can.
And we
got new compactors on the ground, which we have open box containers, and we take recycle your oil, we recycle your antifreeze, we recycle cardboard. Now, recycling is a whole different discussion, and I know the state's involved in trying to figure that out, but recycling is, we're trying to figure out better ways to do that.
And you're making progress, so that's the key. You found a problem, you come in, that's the key. We'll move on from that, because I know that's been a lot of your time. Some other stuff that's other than the financial part, and we'll get to that, lack of funding and the cash flow. You're dealing with, and we'll carry this on in the next segment as well. We got about a minute and a half, but you're now dealing with the old hospital, I believe it is. And that's where it's a county-owned building now, and that's where the director of schools, the Board of Education is located. And they actually occupy, 80% of it, I guess you could say. And the county only has a few offices there. it's been deemed by the fire marshal that it you should not be using the building unless you make improvements.
Well, that, again, when I go through the file, the Old Adams Hospital, it has been a multi-year problem going back all the way to 2012. And I really wasn't even abreast of the issue with the hospital, except for the fact that I knew that my predecessor had moved some of the county agencies out, health department, and the ambulance service. They'd moved those folks, got them grants, and gotten new buildings. The hospital became very apparent that we had a problem in April of 2019. And like you said, the school board has 25 offices in there, and they're the ones that it's affect mainly. We have only four county.
Yeah, and that's something the county has been gracious enough over the years to the school system. So, hey, here's a county building. You can use it. That will keep you from doing something else or buying a building or finding office space to rent. And so that's one way of county commission and school board working together. But it's not required, and we'll get into that. You had asked me that a couple of days ago, if you're required to provide them that building and whatever. It's not. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about that issue, the financial management committee, and some the lack of funding or cash flow Canyon County has faced over the last few years since you've been a commissioner and now county executive. And that's all when we come back on Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM. Welcome back to Trending. This has been Rogers on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. I'm visiting with Brent Bush, Canyon County Executive. He is in his first term, about 15 months in, and we continue to discuss some of the things he's faced in his first 15 months. And we'll get to know a little bit more about Brent as we go along and his public service career, including his time in the military. We mentioned the Old Adams Hospital, which is a county building used by the Board of Education, and there's four county offices in there as well, about 25 offices for the Board of Education. It's in bad shape. It needs some repair. What is the plan, Brent, to try to either to fix that building and continue to use it or do something else?
Well, again, like in early April 2019, April 9th, the Chris Bainbridge came in and directed and said, hey, look, you know, y'all got some problems in this building. And I, like I said, I had really didn't really realize the extent of what needs to be done. And if you go back through the process of the Old Adams Hospital, we've had, years in which we understood that it was under a foundation, under the Adams family. Then later on we figured out, oh, yeah, this is a county building. And I think a roof was put on it in roughly 2000. And then so for the last 20 years, we've really not done anything. We've got the election office up there. We've got the, from county perspective, we got the probation office, one person working up there, and we have CASA person working up there. And we were looking at moving in the financial directorate over into that building too when I realized when we kind of gradually learned that we had some fire code issues. Brought in some people, looked at it from different perspectives, looked back over the records and going back really until the first time in 2015, there was a document that to renovate the whole building, and it went from $400,000 as little and as upwards of $3.6 million with a couple of different courses of action, and that was done by J.C. Haley Company. I've talked to them again. I brought them back in. They want to look at the building, and they're going to sit down with the fire marshal and those folks and try to what are we required to do first, and we're going to try to get that done, and we're going to try to work with the fire marshal over the course of this next year to give us some time to either to comply. We will comply with everything the state fire marshal wants us to do, but I think from a county perspective is that we've really neglected the building and haven't really come to grips with what we really want to do with it. Like whenever you move the probation office out, that's I'm a correction, not the probation office, but the ambulance service folks out, that's roughly 20 people, built them a new building. The health department folks, that's roughly 8 full-timers, built them a new building. I mean, kind of the writing's on the wall that maybe the school board was going to be the main occupant. Now, over the years from the school board has been staying in there. We do charge rent to one governmental agency. They're kind of part-time in and out. It's part of it's not Upper Cumberland, but it's another governmental agency that works out there, and they're headquartered out of Warren County, but they help with jobs and things like that.
Right.
But that's pretty much it. And Mr. Curtis, Director Curtis and I have really kind of, did a full court press. They want to stay in the building, and it's a good deal from us. Now we just got to negotiate the process between two governmental agencies, the legislative body, and the school board on, you know, because I've got to be careful, number one, if I understand the rules are. The rules are is that once the legislative body hits or matches what's required with local contribution and BEP, we got to be careful with general fund money that goes to the schools on top of that.
Sure.
Then we're getting into audit findings, yep, and violating TCA. Mm-hmm. So I've tried to cautiously walk through that, optimistically knowing that we all want to work together to get this, you know, building still in shape, but we also want to follow the rules and be in compliance.
Right. And it's important to know for listeners to know that school property and county property are two separate things. And under the TCA, TCA Title 49 talks about school and its property, and they are, it's their property. It's not the county commission's, but school property. In this case, this building is actually belongs to the county and the county legislative body, and they're letting the school use it. The school is more than welcome to go find their own space, either rent or buy some property. They will maintain that title, that deed belongs to them. The other county buildings that you have, that deed belongs to the county. So it's important to separate the two, because not all property in the county belongs to the county commission, and that's just the way it works. It's just based on the law. You briefly mentioned the funding side of it, and I know y'all are not sure what you're going to do yet. And there's options there that you can do, and you can the county can do a help pay for that. They could do a one-time payment or transfer to the schools, and that wouldn't affect maintenance of effort. There's stuff there to do, but I know that's coming. But that's another issue you faced with in the first 15 months, and we've talked about too, and I know there's a lot more. But I want to talk about funding, and y'all passed a budget in August. You actually got really close to August 31st. But it's because y'all were trying to figure out the best way to allocate money, what kind of tax increase you needed, and y'all raised taxes. The county commission did 8 cents, but you still moved some pennies around to make up some funding somewhere. How did y'all structure your tax levy for this budget year?
Well, you know, the structure of 8 cents, you know, went out throughout through different departments, and like I said, we got down to the 11th hour. And understand that from my background, you know, we did a POM every 2 years, and we laid out the military's budget, and then every service got its slice of the pie. And so working through that right there, I've worked really hard to change the direction of Canyon County and work a lot with the comptroller within their guidance. So the first thing we did back in May is we laid out a capital outlay plan, and we kind of laid out here of all the things that we haven't done probably in a decade that we need to at least identify. And when we, and I think in somewhat, I almost call it analysis paralysis. It was just so much information placed upon the budget committee, and they're struggling with, okay, this is what we haven't done over the years. What do we have to do now? And I'll do a better job to set priorities for them. That way I can see that, you know, here are what I think is that we should really look at. The old hospital was listed on the 5-year plan, is that we need to set aside money. And we did set aside some money in capital outlay. First time we've ever really had some money in capital outlay. Now, that's supposed to go forward to solid waste facility, the new solid waste facility.
Right.
But there is we set aside some pennies to go into capital outlay. We set some money aside in a rental account, which we've never done before, you know, roughly $20,000 and, you know, $100,000 in capital outlay. But that's what the comptroller wants us to do. They want us to paint the picture of where the county wants to see itself, where it is right now, and where we're going to go financially. So, you know, from back up 2 years ago, we're borrowing $1 million+ out of educational debt service to pull into our general fund to use as operational funding. This year, through, I don't know, belt tightening and watching everything, looking at our contribution to the Tennessee retirement plan, looking at our insurance and who's doing that for us, and then pulling some of those things into our office, we're able to only borrow $400,000 this year. So we're to operate the general fund, and we're setting better. Now, you know, again, there's some arguments on how best you do that, and I'm all welcome to hear those
right.
arguments, and I don't have a monopoly of the information, but that's where we're trending in the right direction. We'll have to see where we go here in this spring, and then we can kind of actually set aside some money to, like I say, priorities are, in my mind, Adams Hospital, the jail's got to be looked at really hard, see what kind of improvements we're going to do, and then later on, other priorities kind of come to mind.
And so, you know this, but I've worked with Canyon County for about 12 years. I've been with CTAS about 14 and a half. There was a time period there where I had to move east and pick up a couple of counties, so I dropped a couple of my counties to the west and the upper Conway, and one of them was Cannon. And I've enjoyed the 12 years, but I talked about it. It's been difficult at times for me because I've been put in situations by either the county legislative body, county commission, where I'm a mediator between them and the county executive, and ideally those two parties should be talking all the time. So I've been a mediator for there, and of course end up making one or the other mad or both. You know, that just happens. I've been a mediator between the commission and the school board a couple of times, and you know, I spent some time with the school board a couple of years ago helping them through their budget, and I had some commissioners call me and ask me why are you doing this? Well, that's my job. I mean, I work with both sides. I work with all sides of county government. My uncle served Cannon County for 32 years. He loved Cannon County. One of the first places I went with him when I started at CTAS was Cannon County. He loved it. He thought there was so much potential there and still remain that small town feel and be a small town and be friendly. And people are friendly. But what I've seen in 12 years is politics can really determine how much a county succeeds. And if you have that kind of politics where it's not good or positive, it can prevent the county from moving forward. And I know one thing, some of the commissioners for years have said, we're not raising property taxes. You know, that's their whole thing. But at some point, you got to find some funding to do things like you're faced with, to take care of solid waste, to renovate a building for use for county, so the county don't have to go buy another building. That's how many square feet is that building? I mean, it's big.
It's
4,000 square feet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So buying a 4,000 square foot building now is going to cost a lot of money compared to trying to renovate this one to get up standards. I say all that to say this, the politics there is, it can help or hurt as in any county. My job is to answer questions and try not to be political, you know, and help you.
And you did a great job doing it. I really thank you for doing that.
I appreciate it, and I enjoy working with you, and we have a good relationship. But when we come back, I do want to talk about some of the changes that's been made over the last 15 months since you've been in with the financial side and the financial management committee. And then I want to talk about why you're qualified for this job, because you just didn't come into this job with no clue of county government. You've done some things in your lifetime. So I want to make sure people know, hey, this guy's doing a good job. He's qualified. So when we come back, this is Trending. Ben Rogers is your host, and I'm with Brent Bush, a county executive. We'll talk about all that and more. Welcome back to Trending on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. This is Ben Rogers, your host. I'm with Brent Bush, the county executive, coming from Woodbury today. We're talking about some of the things Cannon County's seen since you've been county executive. There's been more that you've seen. You're a commissioner for 4 years, and we'll get into that as well. But I want to mention something that happened in August of 18, other than you being elected county executive, on the referendum. So when people went to vote for you and other officials, they also got the chance to vote for the county financial management system of 1981. So that was a financial management act passed by the legislature in 1981 to centralize county government financial or fiscal procedures. So they had a chance to vote for it. Now, there's two ways to vote this in. The commission can do it. County commission can vote it in by 2/3 vote. Or it can be voted in by the voters on the referendum. Now, there's two ways to get on the referendum. County commission can put it on the referendum for the people to vote. Or the people can petition to have it on the referendum so they can vote on it. In this case, the county commission said, you know what? We hear the talk of the centralizing. That is one of the most political things in county government in Tennessee. And the reason is because the school system then sends all their fiscal procedures into one office with the county general fund, highway fund, and the other funds. But that's a political part because a lot of schools don't want to give up that authority. They feel like sometimes they lose a little bit of power, and really they don't. It's just centralized. So county commission voted to put it on the ballot. The people voted in August of 18, the same time you got elected. So you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, you know, I haven't even taken office in September 1, and I've got a challenge ahead. I'm not saying you were for or against it, but I've got a challenge ahead, because the reason it's one of your responsibilities is by law, you're mandated to be on the financial management committee that's established once it's approved. And so the law is, once it's voted in, which was August of 18, the system must be installed within 13 months, beginning on July 1 of the fiscal year after its adoption. So July 1 of 2019, you had 13 months from that point. And we're during that time right now to have this implemented. And it needs to be implemented by August of this year, of 2020, I should say. You facing this as soon as you get elected, you know, you're looking at the results. You know, you see that you've won and other officials have won, and you're looking at this referendum vote, And the vote is to centralize the financial management system in Canyon County. What are your thoughts?
Well, kind of tracing it back to this whole discussion, I think, and I understand the comptroller's law, the logic of having centralized financing. And people probably don't understand that general law, 57 Act, 81 Act, charter government, all the different forms of county government, metro government, all these different things have different rules and guidelines to follow because they're all organized different. You kind of understand that. So, being under general law for all these years and then jumping from general law all the way to 1981 Act, I was like, man, that's going to be tough. It's just tough. It is hard. And you've been very patient with us. You've worked, hard. You've walked in, you've come down there and you've tried to lay it all out. And then in the process of me, I sat on the board and then we had to get budgeting money set aside for it. I can't hire people without a funding line. And as a member of the board, there's, four commissioners and then there's three officials, and it is a lot of angst to it. And again, I guess county government is the difference for me is that I lived in a constant world of change for 20 plus years in the military, and I couldn't, even going back, I couldn't, it's done changed again. So we were always forced to make changes based on funding models and where we were, and structural and what the enemy, wants us to do or what we can do to thwart, the enemy. So I was used to it. So I never, it's been a year. We do have the money in place. We've had some discussions. We've got some candidates that's interviewed. We have some members that stepped off the committee now. We're really back at square one. We got a new chairman for it. We've got two new committee members. And hopefully here in January the 14th, we'll kind of get rolling again, and you'll come down and kind of lay the rules out again for us. And then we'll hopefully get this decision made by spring of the year anyway. I'm working the office space issue right now. With that, with a new position, of course, the chief financial officer is kind of embedded in the county executive's office. But when you move that out, you got to have a place for those folks and to work. Now, today's modern day technology, it ain't like we have to all sit in the same room. We can use email and whatever and communicate. But I think the comptroller would like us all to centrally locate with people where they can overlap and they can work together. Yep. And So I think we've got a couple of options. We meet January 4th. I can lay out some options for them over. This is where we can go, and we can set up an office for us. It's outside the courthouse, and then we've got to get the person decide on who we want.
Yeah, and I was going to mention you've accomplished some of the things you have to. You've adopted some rules and procedures, which is the financial management committees. That's one of their responsibilities. Another one is to hire a finance director, and the qualifications, they're not to be overlooked. It's somebody with a financial background, accounting background, somebody that has an understanding of county government, because, folks, county government is a lot different animal than your personal checkbook and personal business or whatever you have. It's a little bit different animal the way things work. There's so many moving parts. And the next, really the big step, finding office space and hiring a finance director. Once that finance director gets in, then they start hiring their staff. We've talked. We know that the highway department's going to have somebody, and the schools will have some people that move into that office. You may need to hire some other people. Don't know how many, but it's a system that works if you have good people in place. And I think y'all are at a good start, and it will get done. But that's been another – listen, brother, your first 15 months has not been easy. And I use you as an example in other counties, and not to be negative. It's just like, hey, you think you've got it bad. This is what's going on in Canyon County. And it's not that it's terrible there. It's just there's so much going on to make it better. And that's what you're doing. You're trying to make the county better, and y'all are working towards that. There's 10 county commissioners in Canyon County, so it takes six people to get most things to get done, six votes. I like a small commission personally. I think it's good, but there's 10 county commissioners. Key is communicating and to knowing what everything is available, transparency, and y'all are getting there. But your first 15 months has been different. you're just not brand new to this. I mean, it's you served 4 years as county commissioner. Your dad was county executive, so you knew talking to him and seeing what kind of what that was. Now times have changed. I mean, how long has that been since he's been?
Oh, 20 years almost.
Yeah,
98.
Yeah, so that times have changed since then. Of course, he got to work with my uncle closely, but I want to know. You left high school, went to college.
I grew up in a family-run business, so I take that as really my. I grew up right there on the corner, really Woodbury. Born in Woodbury, my dad left, went off, and worked. Actually, we lived in Cookeville, lived in Knoxville, lived in some other places, and then he decided to come back and run a family-run business, and that's kind of where. And that's what, so my whole, structure is about how hard people work, and I'm really pro people that want to do that and want to take on. I think private, I kind of have the feeling I wish the government would get out of a lot of, people's way. Entrepreneurial skills are
sure
needed. My dad and my uncle ran the store, and that's what I grew up. And I went to school, MTSU. And
you played football.
I played football. I was fortunate to play for Coach Donnelly for roughly up to about 84. And then I got injured and went on and went in the military later. Got married and started raising a family and got serious about my education and went back to school. And I was commissioned in the Army as an artillery officer and served. And I served about half my career. And the military is different. It's a different structure. It's a large corporation. And again, I served in a military that went from, 800,000 folks in the mid to 80s to, half a million, and was fortunate. I got to command a couple different levels and served my last tour in the Pentagon and decided to come home. I did about 7 years overseas and did a couple combat tours and jumped out of a few airplanes and felt fortunate and to have the opportunity to serve. And again, with all that, you get educated, as my dad said, beyond my intelligence, go on to grad school and you learn a lot about decision making. And
right.
I was talking to a guy yesterday. It's the first thing I wanted him to help us do as a county. He said, well, I need to gather information. And I said, well, that's the first step in the military decision process, gather information.
Sure.
And we're talking about the old Adams Hospital. We're gathering information.
Right.
So I'm big into trying to understand the process before we get into a quick decision at a commission meeting or whatever, and then it has lasting effects that we have to undo mm-hmm. because we didn't have all the information in front of us.
Sure.
There's no rush. We're not having to invade a country. We're not, we don't have,
right.
9/11, is beyond past us.
Right.
And so that, I was at Fort Bragg when it happened. So I learned again how you can, do things with the current environment that you don't see, later on. So
sure.
I'm very hesitant, coming from that perspective. And I know that probably that really forces some commissioners to think that I'm slowing the proverbial process down, but
yeah.
I really am trying to gather all the decision-making tools and communicate that with them, and I've probably been a little bit more transparent.
And I think that's important, and I want to continue talking about that when we come back, because transparency and communication is key. We come back, our last segment with County Executive from Canyon County, Brent Bush. We'll continue to talk about some of the things going on there and his processes and experience and why he's there and where they're going from now when we come back. Welcome back to Trending. This is Ben Rogers on News Talk 94.1 FM and 1600 AM. We've had a really good conversation so far this morning with Canyon County Executive Brent Bush. He's in 15 months into his first term as county executive. He served as a county commissioner 4 years prior. We haven't touched on that a lot yet, but I want to get back. First of all, I want to thank you for your service in the military. You retired from the military. I think that speaks volumes, not only to serving, but you retired and what a contribution to our country you gave. I don't think we say it enough, but I didn't do it. I wish I had done it. I think that's wonderful. It's the ultimate form of public service, in my opinion, is serving in the military. So thank you for that. You're very humble. You're modest. You don't talk about it a lot. Only time I hear you bring it up is when you're trying, and this is funny to me, but when you're trying to get a point across to another constituent or commissioner and you say, well, my thought process comes from this. I was in the military and this is how we handled it. And you and I actually had that conversation. I'll tell a brief story right quick. when you were county commissioner and you had talked to me about running, and of course I encouraged you. I'm not going to lie about it. I thought you did a good job as a commissioner. But I did tell you, I don't know if you remember, I said, Brent, being a county executive is not the same as being a colonel in the Army. There are similarities, but it's not the same. But you can bring those similarities in if you have a right mindset. The reason I say that is I had a county mayor a few years ago that retired from the military that day one come in and want to tell everybody what they had to do, even the schools, highway department, and they had no authority. Well, that got him started off on the wrong foot. You did not do that because you knew that by being a commissioner, you knew it didn't work that way. And then you and I talked about it. But thank you for everything you did. You come home. You retired from the military. You come home to Cannon County. You've been gone, 30 years, you said? Been gone 30 years? Come home. What made you decide to run for county commission?
Well, my brother-in-law, who's retired from the military, made a run at the county executive's role. And I thought I would set a support role up and be a commissioner. My grandfather was a commissioner on my mother's side. So I heard the stories of being a commissioner, and I actually thought the commissioner was a more important role as a guiding role to the county executive and worked with the county. I kind of knew the role. I remember what my grandfather talked about, and my other grandfather served on the school board during the time whenever they consolidated all the schools from 30-something schools in the county down to roughly 6 or 7 that we have today. So I kind of out of that family, the background, again, as a boy, listening to them talking over Christmas holidays or something like that, and they're talking politics. But my grandfather, Foster, was really talked a lot about his commission. And I wanted to kind of set and support and help the county. I mean, I just wanted to. I'm born here, and I've witnessed from a massive urbanization going on across America. And I was sitting in D.C. and watched the news, and I was thinking, wow, there's two Americas going on. And again, I spent 7 years overseas, did Afghanistan, Iraq, and all that different stuff, and back whatever, and then all the different places. And I'd come back to states. And I'd watch the news, and I think, man, there's whole urban communities are different than what I'm experiencing and talking to in rural communities. Right. In rural communities, I'm a big fan of. That's why you got this great, this growth going on. We're growing, but we're not growing in a sense is that we're kind of growing flat. And that's kind of where I thought as a commissioner, I could kind of say, well, what can we do? What can we to set the conditions for the county to be a great place for people to come and live? I mean, we're going to be a place where people commute to work. They drive to either Murfreesboro or Nashville, whatever. Very few go to Warren County. People from Warren County drive through our town to go to Murfreesboro, Nashville. Right. That's just how it is. So that has effect on your sales tax. That has effects on your revenue. That has effect on local businesses.
Sure.
But again, I also understand that economic behaviorism from my academic days is really a struggle. I mean, we could talk Friedman, we could talk all the different people. And I served with people that were Rhodes Scholars. I'm talking PhDs, Chief of Staff of the Army. These guys are, extremely well-read. And now you sit and listen. And my point is that I kind of thought, well, from a governing legislative body, what can we do to get out of the way to allow Cannon County to prosper? So taxation is important.
And so the
appropriate amount is really the question you should ask. What are we trying to do with it? How are we transferring this wealth from people that are holding on to it? How do we transfer it for the common good? That's really what you're doing with taxation from a theoretical sense.
Right.
And whether that's property tax or whatever. I know we talked a lot about impact fees,
Sure.
And we did, this county commission did vote in impact fees, which again has a method to put additional costs when bring money. We did an archive fee. If we want to store our records and things of that nature, now we're, charging people for archive. Property tax is always probably the most volatile subject. And I personally also understand their point because you bought a piece of property, you own it, whatever, now I'm renting it back to the county,
right.
Essentially. So you're right. the whole concept there. And I'm cautious with that. I mean, I think stabilizing taxation, figuring out a way, and most of our growth, the $400,000 that I borrowed this year, is due to the fact is that we increased appraisal values on property and increased with that the value of each penny brought in more money. We went from bringing in $20,000 per penny to $25,000
per penny. Sure,
which is huge. Which is huge, you know. And so that's where really our revenue streams is coming from, not from me doing any major movements in expenses. I mean, I have limited some expenses, but I can't take the credit. It's been more of a revenue, increased revenue flow.
Right. And that's always good. The impact fee will help because what you're doing is someone that wants to build new construction, they'll get charged per square foot to get that permit to build. You've got the west side of the county that sees a lot of people coming in and building houses because of Murfreesboro.
Right.
And my best friend, he does building inspections and electrical inspections. And Cannon County is one of his counties because the state, he works contracts with the state. And he's going down there every week to do those inspections. So, you know, the people are coming in. But it's like you said, you're almost even. You're getting growth on the west side. Then some people are going out. But what's important is your tax base is growing. The penny value. And we know it's growing because the penny values went up.
Correct.
That's where the tax base grows. So that's helping the impact of people help. So there's good things. This show is not all about doom and gloom about Cannon County. It's about to let you know what county, rural counties struggle with day in and day out. And this is a perfect example. Your 4 years as a commission, you learned a lot. You saw the moving components of county government. At what point in time did you decide you wanted to run for county executive?
It was really a tough decision for me. Number one, had several people approach me and talk to me, and I kind of set it aside and said, let me think about it. And I guess at about the time you had to pick up your paperwork, and then I thought, well, I'll do it the best I can and lay it out and try not to take it personal and try to move on. And again, it has been, again, we're in a small community. I'm not trying to drag in all the anecdotal, you know, comments that are made here and there and whatever.
Sure.
You just live with them. You just go on and you do the best you can with the, but I do have, I mean, I hate to admit the fact is that, I mean, I'm 57 year old, so I have core beliefs. I have core principles and you may not agree with them, but that don't mean that me and you have to be hatred toward
exactly.
each other. I mean, hate and discontent. We can sit there. I mean, I disagreed with a lot of the professors that I sat in the classroom with and said, well, you know, you may say that from a point of view, but my dad, you know, he had a whole different struggle at running a store.
Sure.
And, you know, that might work good to do a, you know, of course, we used to joke that if the government ran his store business, they'd probably hire additional 25 people just because we were working by our butts off.
Right.
And I say that respectfully because I worked inside the Department of Defense, and sometimes we did things that the only way we could do it is with the Department of Defense. But then there was other things that we just didn't do too well.
Right.
I mean, I hate to go back and rehash all the things. Anytime when you get a group of people together and they're trying to make decisions over the common good, you bring in those personalities, you bring in those experiences. And so I'm kind of like, you know, like I said, I kind of like to slow the process down. Let's try not to make too much damage. And then, because there's so many second and third order effects that happens from a legislative and a governmental standpoint that people can vote and then they don't think about.
Yep.
And then me as a, you know, administrator of that, I'm sitting there wrestling with, oh, crap. You know, I'm very cautious when it comes to, I hate to use the word governmental intervention, but I mean, that's what you're doing. You're changing the rules. And I communicate a lot with Clark Boyd and Mark Pody and the struggle of rural counties. And I think it is different than say Davidson County's problem or Rutherford County's problem or even Cook or Putnam County's problem.
Before we close, what's good going on? Anything you can share with us?
Well, we got some great people that are serving, and I want them to continue to serve. They're conscientious and they're working real hard. And, you know, the commission body. We got, you know, the IDB, the Industrial Development Board. We got some great people that are looking for. We got a great school board, and you know, we all have kind of competing ideas of where they're going. But all these people and the director of schools, he's pretty new like me. We probably don't do a really good job of communicating all that stuff. I'm not kind of a – I don't pat – you know, I'm just kind of don't pat people on the back.
Right.
And I'm not really a, you know, kissing babies, handshaking.
Sure.
I kind of go to work. And this is the first really opportunity I've communicated much. It's not that I've avoided our local news sources. I just really hadn't had time, you know, and you reached out to me. And
absolutely.
And I'm really a big fan of you guys.
Well, I appreciate you. And what I want to say to you, Brent, as we close, is keep on keeping on. Cannon County is a good place to be and a good place to serve, and I enjoy working there and trying to serve in a capacity. So thank you for being here. I can't wait to hear the reaction from my listeners about this show, because you gave some good insight about the rural county struggles, but also what's being done to help improve that. So thank you. You've been listening to News Talk 94.1 FM. We will have Brent back at some point later on down the road, because we want to get an update of what's going on. This has been Rogers, and this has been an episode of Trending.